Time now for Western Michigan at Work. Each Tuesday evening at this time, the White Sales Corporation of Scotts, Michigan, brings you a program about the industries in Western Michigan and the people who work in them. Through these programs, we hope that our listeners may become better acquainted with Western Michigan at Work. Tonight, we visit the Valley City Milling Company of Portland. Your guide, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
The scientific feeding of poultry and livestock has become one of the most important and significant developments of recent years in the field of agriculture. Not so many years ago, ideas of what was proper to feed poultry, cattle, swine, and other livestock were handed down from generation to generation. Today, as a result of the work of science, it is known just what nutritive ingredients are needed to develop an animal in the desired way. Farmers know that certain kinds of feed will make chickens lay more eggs, will put meat on cattle, or will develop fancy turkeys for the Thanksgiving trade. The business of compounding the necessary ingredients for these feeds has become a vital one to the farmer. This information also has extended to the feeding of pets, so that there are, for example, dog diets as well as human diets. The other day I visited the Valley City Milling Company of Portland, Michigan, a large producer of commercial feeds. It is also one of the oldest companies in the business. It was making a horse feed as far back as 1892, and incidentally that was called streetcar feed, the name coming, I suppose, from its use in feeding the horses which used to pull streetcars in those days. A recent book on the history of feed manufacturers lists the Valley City Milling Company as the fourth company in the whole United States to make commercial feeds. This company dates back to 1884, when it was started in Grand Rapids. Its president and general manager is Fred Rowe, Sr. Years ago, the Rowe Hotel in Grand Rapids and the Civic Auditorium in that city were built largely through his efforts. The mill in Grand Rapids burned in 1925, and the business was transferred to Portland. The company maintains a large and ultra-modern feed plant and dog food plant in that city now. They also have wide distribution on their popular brands of Lily White Flour and Rowena Pancake Mix in Michigan. The commercial feeds are marketed under the trade name of Rowena and are distributed all over the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. Rowena dog foods are sold throughout the whole Middle West. A tremendous amount of equipment and know-how are required to make the modern scientific feeds. They come in a wide variety. There are 13 different kinds of mashes for poultry alone, besides 4 different kinds of scratch feed. Then there are turkey and duck mashes, dairy and cattle feeds, hog feeds, rabbit, sheep, and horse feeds. Each of these is made according to a different formula. There's nothing secret about the ingredients used in these formulas. In fact, they're published right on the back of the Rowena price list. But putting those ingredients together in the proper proportion is a job that requires, as I've said, a lot of equipment and a lot of skill. You get some idea of this from taking a look at the control room of the plant. There I saw controls for a total of 107 motors in the plant, motors which power the graders, grinders, packers, elevators, and dozens of other machines. Although some grain is purchased locally, the bulk of it comes to the plant in carload lots. It's unloaded and stored in vast bins at the rate of 1,500 bushels an hour. It's weighed in units of 6 bushels as it comes in. While being stored, it has air forced up through it to prevent spoilage. An important ingredient of these feeds nowadays is what is called fish solubles. These fish solubles, which smell unmercifully, by the way, are stored in a separate building, where up to 2 tank carloads can be kept at a medium temperature. These tanks are equipped so that they can be flushed clean after each batch of solubles is used. The various grains to be used in any feed are first ground in the right proportions in a hammer mill. Then they go into a large mixer, where the fish solubles and what is called animal protein factor are sprayed on them under pressure of about 350 pounds. This thoroughly mixes these ingredients with the grain. The feeds are moved automatically from these mixers to the finishing room. A so-called scalper takes out any impurities, and the feed is then screened to obtain the different sizes desired. The feeds are sacked next, being filled to the exact weight, and then are stitched shut by automatic sewing machines. The pelleting department is where the material used in the feeds is squeezed under great pressure through special dies, making pellets in sizes from 1/8 of an inch up to 3/4 of an inch in diameter. The dog food made by the Valley City Milling Company is a baked dog diet, not a cereal dog food. The company started making dog food about 18 years ago. At first, it was put up in large sacks and sold by retailers in the bulk. But nowadays, it's packaged in 2.5, 5, 10, and 25-pound paper bags, and in cotton bags for the customer. This food, containing all the essentials for canine growth, is first mixed in the form of a dough. Then this dough is molded in the form of a big cookie in a molding machine. These big cookies go into huge rotating ovens where they are baked for 1.5 hours. When they emerge, they're really hard. From the ovens, they go to 4 drying bins, which hold 12.5 tons each. After several days, they're fed into what are called kibbling machines, which crush them to the various sizes desired. Sifters then grade the food into kibbled, granulated, and meal form for the automatic weighers and packers. You usually think of a mill where grains are ground and processed as being a very dusty place. Well, that's not the case with this mill. The entire plant is kept dust-free by a system which constantly takes the dust from the air and floors and blows it into a big trap on top of the main building. I didn't see a cobweb in the whole plant. I'll be back right after this word from White Sales, our sponsor.
The White Sales Corporation of Scotts, Michigan, sponsors of this program, have a wide variety of machinery and equipment for many industrial needs. For example, one department is devoted to furnishing machinery and equipment for Michigan's grain elevators, feed and flour mills. They have new grain cleaners, machines for shelling and cracking corn, and every part needed to make elevators to carry grain to the top of the mill, or a conveyor to carry it away. Yes, they have just about the most complete stock of this type of merchandise in the state of Michigan. For further information, call White Sales at Scotts 371. Now back to Dr. Willis Dunbar.
It's becoming quite general nowadays for factories to use paint liberally for the purpose of identifying different kinds of machinery and conduits. But I've never seen this carried out quite so extensively as at the Valley City Milling Company. The ceilings of this plant had just about all the colors of the rainbow. Water pipes are black, the pipes which the sprinkler system runs through to control possible fires, you know, are red, airlines are green, steam pipes are yellow, electrical conduits are white, molasses pipes, very appropriately, are brown, they use molasses to make feed taste better, I suppose, and fish-soluble pipes are blue. Following in his father's footsteps in the feed business is Mr. Fred Rowe, Jr., Vice President, Assistant General Manager, and Director of Feed Sales at the Valley City Milling Company. Mr. Rowe told me so many interesting facts about developments during recent years in scientific feeding that I have invited him to join me on this broadcast to bring this information to our listeners. Mr. Rowe, please tell us a little about the reasons for the very rapid development in the field of poultry and livestock nutrition during the past few years.
First of all, Dr. Dunbar, there has probably been more development in poultry and livestock nutrition since World War II than in any 10 or 20 year period prior to World War II. Let's turn back to the years prior to World War II and see what the feed manufacturers were using then. In those days, most feeds were made from ordinary byproducts from the flour mills, the corn mills, meat packers, milk plants, fisheries, and so forth. Most of the ingredients used were in low potency. However, when the war came on, there were not enough of the ingredients that we had been using, and new products had to be found in order to produce more meat, milk, and eggs. So in less than 10 years, the formulation of commercial feed has been completely revolutionized.
Well, now, Mr. Rowe, can you give us a few examples of ingredients which are responsible for this change?
Yes, I can. For instance, here are a few things that are used in high-potency supplemental form in present-day feed that a few years back were used in low potency in ordinary ingredients. Riboflavin supplements are used instead of dry milk. Vitamin A from high-potency fish oils, vitamin A supplements in dry form, or more particularly a high-quality dehydrated alfalfa meal, are used instead of the old-type feeding oil. Vitamin D, or as it is known to the scientist, high-potency deactivated animal sterol for both poultry and four-footed animals, instead of cod liver oil in the low potency that we used to use. Phosphorus supplements are used in concentrated levels instead of having to rely on bone meal or meat and bone scraps for phosphorus found in ordinary ingredients. We now use trace minerals, which become necessary in many areas because of soil deficiency. And there are the B-complex supplements in concentrated form, which are used to bring up the levels of the various B-complex vitamins. Then also the new and the very new animal protein factor supplements to provide vitamin B12 that are also found in pork liver meal, fish meal, condensed fish solubles, meat scraps, tankage, and milk products. A great many feed manufacturers are using this animal protein factor supplement in addition to some of the latter regular sources I just mentioned in order to give an added boost to the very important growth factor which this vitamin contains.
Well, it all sounds very complicated, Mr. Rowe, and very interesting. What else has contributed to this change we've been talking about?
The previous items are just a few of the things that have replaced ordinary feed ingredients, Dr. Dunbar. But more important, the scientists have worked out standards or requirements for poultry and livestock, and these standards are compiled and published by the National Research Council in Washington, D.C. They include protein, fat, fiber, minerals, and most of the known vitamins for all classes of poultry and livestock. Then, too, we have many new developments in the line of machinery and equipment and methods of manufacturing feeds today as compared to a few years ago. For an example is the method in which we handle and introduce fish solubles into our feeds in Portland, as you have so ably described. The feed industry on a whole has made remarkable strides in the years since the war. However, we all realize that as the field of science develops, we also will develop and improve upon our feeds and methods of manufacture. And after all, that is what we are striving for. Thank you very much, Dr. Dunbar, for asking me to appear on your program. I have enjoyed it very much.
Well, thank you, Mr. Rowe. What you've told us certainly is very interesting. And that concludes our broadcast on the Valley City Milling Company, another industry where you will find Western Michigan at work.
You've been listening to Western Michigan at Work. Tonight we told you the story of the Valley City Milling Company of Portland, Michigan. Next week we visit the Upjohn Company of Kalamazoo. This has been another Tuesday evening program in the series of Western Michigan at Work, presented to you at this time by White Sales Corporation of Scotts, Michigan, who are local distributors for a complete line of industrial machinery.